Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey.
Men ought to pray always and never lose heart. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Jesus here teaches us of the power of prayer in our Christian life. But ask yourself today, how often do we really use prayer? Do we see prayer as a powerful tool that is able to help us through this life? Do we use the power of prayer in our everyday struggles that we face? We talk about it, and I believe we really understand what the Bible says about prayer, but do we really use prayer as God wants us to? If we're going to make it through this life and go to heaven, and if we're going to defeat the devil and all the fiery darts that he throws at us, we must realize the power of persistent prayer, and we must take advantage of every opportunity to serve God using prayer as a tool to help us do that. Christians must realize just how important prayer is in their life. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 teaches us to pray without ceasing. Now, that text doesn't mean that everything in your life is a prayer, but it does mean that there should never be a time in life when we can't come to the throne of God and ask Him for help. I think of the words of Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. Matthew records for us that after Jesus went away from the multitudes, He departed up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Jesus realized the importance of prayer in His personal ministry. He realized the power of prayer, for He said in Matthew 26, in verse 53, that He could pray and God would give Him angels to help Him in His time of need. Friends, we need to realize just how important prayer is to help us overcome the difficulties we face in life. I want us to think about what James said about prayer. In James chapter 5, in verse 16, we have these words recorded. James says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." Notice, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The idea of effective and fervent carries with it continual petitioning the throne of God. And that type of prayer, James teaches us, overcomes much in this life. But to really understand the power of prayer, we need to know about some of the prerequisites to prayer. We need to know how to pray. We need to understand what the Bible says about prayer, and if there are conditions, we must meet to pray properly. And the Bible does teach us that there are some prerequisites to prayer. There are some things that we need to understand ahead of time if we're going to pray as God wants us to. For example, not every person can just stand up and pray and say whatever he wants to say. A person needs to be taught how to pray according to Scripture. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the disciples of Jesus came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray." Oh, how we need the same attitude of the disciples today. How we need to think to ourselves, I want to learn. We need to learn how to pray according to the Scriptures. We need to learn to pray biblically, not just selfish things, but pray as God would have us to pray. Another prerequisite to prayer is that we must pray with a firm belief that God will hear our prayer. Think about the words of Mark chapter 11 and verse 24 as it relates to prayer. Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Jesus didn't teach us to wish that we would get these things or to guess that it will happen. Jesus said, when you ask, you need to believe that it will happen and trust God that it will. Matthew 21, verse 22, Jesus said, whatever thing you ask in prayer believing, you will receive. And do you remember the words of James chapter 1, verse 5? We're told to pray for wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. He tells us we're not to ask like the double-minded man. He's unstable in all his ways. We need to have a firm conviction in God's ability to hear our prayer and to bless us if it's according to His will. Which leads us to a third prerequisite to prayer. I must pray according to the will of Almighty God. We don't need to pray what we want or what we necessarily think we ought to receive. We need to first and foremost pray according to God's will. How would God have us to pray? We learn this in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. John discusses praying according to the will of God, and he says this. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. I don't need to ask for $1 million necessarily. I don't need to necessarily pray for worldly things of this life just to make me happy. I need to pray according to the will of God. How wonderful it is to hear someone pray, Lord, if this is Your will, let it be. That's the attitude our Lord possessed in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46. Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. Another important prerequisite to prayer is that the person praying must have a very humble attitude. Luke chapter 14, verse 11, Jesus said, he who humbles himself will be exalted. He who exalts himself, that type of person will be humbled. Think about Luke chapter 18, verse 10 following. Two different people will go to the temple to worship. One is a religious man. He comes up to the temple, he begins to pray, and he says, Lord, I thank You that I'm not like this person over here, this ungodly man. I give all twice a week. I fast twice a week. I give of all that I have. He's concerned about himself, and he's praying very selfishly. But the sinner, he just looks up to heaven, and he says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That was the man who prayed in humility, and that was the person whom Jesus blessed. You know, a prerequisite to prayer is that we must also pray with the Spirit and with the understanding. We can't just verbalize words. We have to think about what we're saying. We have to pray with our spirit, with our emotion, and we also have to pray with the understanding of what's being said. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, Paul said, I'll sing with the Spirit and the understanding, and I'll also pray with the Spirit and with the understanding. Praying with the understanding means that we're going to think very carefully about what we say to Almighty God. But friends, a very important prerequisite to prayer is that I also must be right with my God. I cannot expect God to hear my prayer if my life is not being lived right. In Psalm 66, verse 18, we are told, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Friends, if there's sin that we're trying to hide, or if we've got things that we know are not right, that we haven't taken care of, we cannot expect God to hear our prayer. God heareth not the prayer of sinners. John chapter 9, verse 31. The blind man was right. If we're living in abject sin, we need not even pray until we get the sin in our life right. And then we need to pray and ask God for forgiveness. The wise proverb writer said in Proverbs 28, verse 9, if I turn my ear away from hearing the law, the Lord will not hear. God's not going to hear our prayer if we don't listen and follow His will. And thus, a prerequisite to prayer is for me to have my life right with Almighty God, not to be living in sin, but trying to walk in the light, as 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says. The Bible also sets out for us a practical plan for prayer. God, in Scripture, gives us a good plan to follow as we pray and sets some guidelines for us to use. For example, prayer ought to be the very first thing we do each morning. Jesus did this, and no wonder His life was as powerful as it was, and no wonder He was able to do so many great things. Yes, He was deity, but Jesus also realized the power of prayer. Notice the words of Mark chapter 1, verse 35. The Bible here says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there He prayed. Notice it was in the morning, first thing, having risen a long while before daylight. This seems that Jesus got up even early in the day. He went out to a solitary place to pray. He wanted to be alone where things of the world wouldn't get in the way, and then He could talk with God, petition His throne, and ask for help. And so every morning, when you start the day off, start it off by praying to God. Prayer also ought to be a private matter between a person and God. There's a private essence to prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus told us not to be like the the hypocrites who stand out on the street corner and say long prayers so that they can be heard by men. But Jesus said, you, when you pray, go into your house, go into the inner room, to the closet, and there, get down on your hands and knees and pray to God. It was a private matter. There are certain things that we need to talk to God about that need to be between us and God alone. A practical plan for prayer set out in Scripture is morning, noon, and evening. Psalm 55, verse 17, the psalmist said, morning, noon, and evening, I cry aloud to Thee. Now, this isn't the only time we could pray, but we sure ought to utilize these opportunities, start our day off with prayer. Somewhere in the middle of the day, we ought to take time to stop and pray to God. And then toward the close of the day, we ought to thank God for all the blessings of the day, ask Him to forgive us of anything we've done wrong, and pray that He'll take care of us through the night and see us to a new day in the morning. You know, another practical plan for prayer is that prayer ought to be continual. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 teaches us that they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, prayer, fellowship, and in breaking of bread. They continued in prayer. And so we today ought to have a continual lifestyle of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, this is the real idea. Pray without ceasing. Have a continual prayer life, never being a time in our life when we can't approach the throne of God. Paul said it this way in Colossians 4, verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer. Our life ought to be one where there is not a time that we can not, our life ought to be such that we never reach a point where we can't pray to God and ask Him for His help. You know, another wonderful teaching about prayer is that prayer should be made a good habit. Nothing wrong with habits in and of themselves, and prayer ought to be made a good habit. Listen to the words of Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Notice the habit that Daniel had. The Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, there was a decree signed that when the bell was rang or the sound was made, you were to pray toward this image that was made. Now when Daniel knew that that decree was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before God. Listen to these words. As was his custom since early days. Daniel had been trained to pray. It was a custom, a good habit that he had developed. And prayer should be made a good habit in our lives. If we're going to be saved, it's not going to be by prayer alone. We've got to do what God says to be pleasing to Him. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21. Jesus said it's not just everybody who looks up and says, Lord, Lord, that's going to heaven. Who is going to heaven then? Those who do the will of the Father. There's something that we must do. Jesus condemned the Pharisees and the hypocrites when He said, why do you call Me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. So, what must a person do to be saved? First, you've got to be willing to hear God's Word. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Once I've listened to the voice of God through Scripture, then I must believe in Jesus. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, I've got to believe, but belief alone won't save me. James 2:24 says that we see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. I also have to repent of sin. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. I must confess Jesus as the Son of God, as seen in Romans 10, verse 10. And yes, you must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned. Today, our prayer for you is that you will obey the gospel if you're not a Christian. If, as a Christian, your life has not been utilizing prayer as it should, why not revitalize, renew your sense of prayer, and strive every day to be a more prayerful person? May God help us as we strive to do His will.